All right, let's go for it. We don't have to do a fucking countdown.
Yeah, this is really weird. It's actually really weird to not do a countdown.
It is. It throws off my whole rhythm.
Okay. I like this. You are now listening to the Boss Fight Podcast. Settle in. Listen to the ocarina. Do what you do. Let's go. Yo, 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 yo. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Boss Fight Podcast. Yeah.
I could have harmonized it now because we don't have a delay.
All
right. Hit the Boss Fight Podcast again. I'm going to try to throw harmony in.
Okay. Yo, 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 yo. What is up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Boss Fight Podcast. You hit that harmony real good.
Shit, dude. I was in it. I was in the pocket.
I am Steven Savelli, and I am the host of this podcast, and yep. I am joined today by my favorite co-host in the universe, my buddy, my guy, my pal, Paul Edwards. What's up, man?
Dude, how's it going, dude? I'm feeling really good with this code red in my hand.
Well, for me, it's going really great. I also have a code red, and I have a Red Bull,
yep.
And we're actually sitting together in person.
This is weird.
This is very weird.
We didn't have to do a countdown. I harmonized. It was glorious.
You harmonized. There's no, like, weird delay. I'm looking into your eyes. This is real weird and creepy.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's actually really cool.
You know, all these housing updates that you've been getting,
I can
see did they pay off? Did it come together?
They did. I'm glad I was here, like, at the end of it.
Yeah.
When it's all done.
Right.
So I can just walk in and check it out and see how it's going. The house looks fantastic.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I mean, there's only one bathroom you're legally allowed to enter. But besides that, it's pretty good.
It is good. And this nerd cave we're in, what do you have a name for it?
Not yet.
Okay. Anyways, we're in...
I'm going to figure one during this recording.
All right. We're in Paul's nerd cave, which is, what, your media room? Is what you're going to call it?
That sounds very proper. In fact, I believe that's what it's called on my cable box.
So he's got some... You got, like, movie theater chairs. So you're going to put a recording booth in here.
Yep.
Awesome. Well, today we're going to do a few very simple things, because that's how we've been rolling lately. We got rapid-fire questions. Mm. We got track of the week. We got news and quick discussion, and then we got some fun facts at the end.
Yeah.
We talked about doing like Super Fight and a few other new segments this episode, but we're going to keep it chill, and we'll jump into that possibly next week.
Yeah, we'll plan a bigger event.
Yeah.
Maybe even bring someone else in on it.
Yeah, it'd be cool to have it. There's enough room for another person or two.
Now that we got it all set up, we know it's going to work. We can really blow this thing up.
You know what I'm really looking forward to today? I'm not in charge of the agenda, so I'm like... kind of scared.
Should be.
But I also feel good that I can just relax.
Should be. I'm going to really introduce these topics with a lot of flair.
Okay.
A lot of pizzazz.
Well, I'm ready to go when you are.
All right, let's kick it right off with rapid fire questions.
Oh, yeah. You know what it's time for.
Woo.
It's that.
Rapid fire.
Yahoo.
Rapid fire.
You might have
saw that.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
All right.
I like it.
Sold it. Okay. Audio's looking good. All right.
Perfect.
So, how do you want to do this? You want to start us off?
I like going 1-1-1-1.
1-1-1-1. Back to the old way.
Old way.
Start us off.
Okay. Listen, for this rapid fire question. For a 2-on-2 pickup basketball game, who would you rather have as a teammate? Peach or Zelda?
Dude, I was so ready for like an awesome, awesome teammate.
Like James Harden or Russell Westbrook or something.
Shit, man.
Peach or Zelda?
I've most certainly got to go with Zelda.
Really?
Zelda, I feel like she's just stronger on her own. Yeah. She's a more independent woman.
Okay. Because she's also chic? No chic. Or you go on chic powers and you're 2-on-2.
She can chic up.
She can chic.
Like if we're like if we're down and she's gotta like do a little twirl and go all gangster with it.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going with Zelda, no question about it. What do you got?
Well, it's perfect for me. I was going to go with Peach no matter what because she's got hops. I don't know if you've played.
She does like that float shit with the dress.
Yeah.
Wow, that would be pretty effective on an alley-oop.
Old school, normal, like regular Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
Peach is pretty dope. She jumps real high. She floats. I think the alley-oop game would be strong.
Be super
strong. And actually, me and Peach together would beat you and Zelda. I'm feeling that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll give you that. I'll give you that. My ankles don't hold up like they used to, all right?
Your ankles?
Take it easy on me,
out
dude.
Of all the things. Not your cardio, not anything else.
Don't worry about that stuff. Your ankles have always been my Achilles heel.
Wow, your Achilles heel.
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Here's my question.
Okay.
I think my question's a little more important. What would you rather live without? The internet or your left hand?
Oh, wow.
That's tough, right? Is that surprisingly difficult? I feel that is more difficult than it seems on the surface.
So, like, no, do I get any secondhand? Well, that's a bad pun, bad joke. Do I get?
No, you don't get a secondhand.
Am I just like an EMP machine wherever I walk? I like walk into the mall and like all the digital screens go.
Yeah, let's assume in this reality you cannot access it anywhere. You can't like look over your friend's shoulder, nothing. Just no internet, period. The rest of the world has it.
I'd rather go without my left hand.
100%. That is the same for me. Now, I picked left hand because I know you're right-handed.
Yes, yes.
For me, I don't think I could go without my left hand being left-handed because I would feel so crippled. But then again...
You don't think you'd figure it out?
You'd have to, right? I think you'd have a better chance figuring out how to live with one hand than you would to live without the internet now that we've come this far.
How terrible is that?
It'd be so terrible. It's terrible. Yeah, it says a lot about us.
Yeah, we're fucking terrible humans.
Like, we're weak. We don't need physical strength. I just need to be able to check my Facebook.
Yep. That's true. Yeah, I would definitely rather have the internet, as odd as that sounds.
Yeah. I'd almost consider having the internet over having no hands.
Oh, that's real tough.
Text-to-speech, you know? You know what I'm saying?
Text-to-speech.
Voice type. Use my toes.
I would rather have one hand. Okay. At least than the internet.
Two might be much.
Two might be much. That's my, you cross the line there at the second hand.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
All right. If I gifted you $10,000 with the option of $100,000 by making a 10-foot jump shot.
Shit, why are you coming at my game, dude? Why are you coming at my game today?
Two basketballs. So you get guaranteed 10 grand, or I'm like, Paul, 10 feet from the hoop, you make... It's just one of one. You only get one shot. If you make it, I give you $100,000.
10-footer?
10-foot jump shot.
Give me the 10-footer. Give me that 10-footer.
You're going for all 100.
I'm going for 100K. I'm money from 10 feet. I hit the bank like a robber.
Oh, yeah. You can bank in from 10, probably.
Dude, I got that bank from 10.
But what if it's from the side? Because like
straight side shot?
Yeah. Like if I... Because that's probably what I would pick. I wouldn't pick a straight...
Straight side shot, I'm probably sweating a little bit. If you put me straight from the side, give me the 10K.
Really?
Give me a nice angle shot and open that bank up. Give me that bank. I'm going for it.
Okay. I am going 100K any direction.
That's probably fair. You're a little more practiced than I am in the last decade.
I do. Before I had my knee surgery 3 months ago, full ACL reconstruction, I was playing basketball every week. Like, competitive.
I'm feeling a little bit, like, attacked, though, how you've come at my game twice. I feel like it's because you're seeing me in person, you're looking at me, and you're underestimating me, just by vision.
I think you'd beat me if we played right now.
Mm.
Because I
take you out of the knee?
I can't run. Yeah. You can back me down.
This is my chance. I've been waiting on this moment.
I went with two basketball questions. My third is not, but we'll get to it in a second.
That's fine. All right. My second question is within line of my first question.
Okay.
Besides the internet, what is the single most important technological advancement of our lifetimes?
Air conditioning.
Air conditioning?
It's one. Is that in our lifetimes? No.
Let's...
When you say lifetimes,
sorry. In our lifetime, but you know what?
In the last
I wanted you to expand years. On this air conditioning. Expand
I jumped right to air conditioning because it's something I've had conversations with people about.
Okay.
Air conditioning is incredibly important. Without it, there'd be no high rises, no skyscrapers, no malls, no big box retailers, no, like, the how we envision big cities would not exist, not be the same. You couldn't have that density without air conditioning.
Wow.
You couldn't have, there's a lot of things that air conditioning affects. Server rooms, like giant server farms, you couldn't have, you, like, even just a server the size of... Your TV, you would have to like really surround with like ice all day because those need to be pumped. So
that's a great answer.
Air conditioning's huge to our infrastructure that no one gives credit for.
probably predates our lifetime.
Definitely predates our lifetime.
I'm pretty impressed by that answer. At first, I was just thinking like, why? So I'm a little more comfortable?
No, I jumped to it before you, I think, said lifetime. I had it in my brain. I was already going to say air conditioning. But it's actually like legit. If you really break it down, air conditioning, there's no big cities. There's no server farms. There's no, like, how, yeah, it's insane. When you really think about air conditioning, there you go. What do you got?
That fucking blew me away. Anything I could say now is incorrect.
Wow, okay. I came in hot with it.
I mean, wow, yeah, that's a really, really quality answer. I think a really important advancement that maybe hasn't been fully realized yet, I think is in our lifetime. That could be wrong. It probably predates us, but solar panels.
Yeah.
I think solar panels are going to be incredibly important.
Yep.
As we continue to dwindle fossil fuels and also lower the water table and also decide that nuclear is horribly terrifying and disgusting. Yeah. But better than the other options currently. But solar panels were kind of the first thing I thought of, but that answer sucks now. It's air conditioning.
I like solar panels though. If I look at our lifetime, what I'm hoping for in the future with like what's going to be the most impactful thing, that's just something we talked about last night, which is synthetic food.
Mm-hmm.
Synthetic meat, vegetables, fruit, like cloned. That's another
quality answer.
Like, scientifically grown food for us would help stabilize the environment a lot.
Yeah, that's a really, really good answer. Anything that can help us...
no water.
Yeah,
not,
like...
No water.
Lower our need for water.
Only required water for synthesizing food. You're cloning stuff down... At a microscopic level.
Yeah, I can tell that you've put some thought into the advancement of man.
These are real rapid-fire questions. I'm ready to go.
Yeah, all right.
I'm pumped up today.
I like it. What you got?
My third one's food-related because
we love food.
I thought I'd make you happy.
You come at my game, and now you're trying to get me with food.
Yeah, it's like a shit sandwich.
Mm, got it.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you could only eat spaghetti and meatballs... or beef tacos for the rest of your life, which would you choose?
100 million% it's beef tacos.
Really?
I fucking love a good taco. I'll do anything for a taco.
Oh, wow.
I want a taco right now.
We should order Uber Eats.
100%. We can actually do that and enjoy tacos right at this moment. I
want right now.
Yes. Don't get me wrong. Love spaghetti and meatballs. Spaghetti and meatballs suck to eat.
Yeah.
They suck to eat, especially for a bearded man. I've never not gotten 3/4 of the sauce in my beard.
Okay.
And tacos are just tacos. Well, what's your choice?
I was looking at the nutritional benefits of each because if I can only have one for the rest of my life, I'm like, am I getting everything I need? I think that you have a more balanced meal if you eat beef tacos.
Yes, because you got more vegetable toppings.
Yeah, you have lettuce, you got tomato, right. You got cheese, meat, corn.
Right. It's a better balance between the carbs and the protein.
Yeah. If your spaghetti and meatballs comes with a side salad.
Then it gets interesting.
Gets interesting.
It does get interesting at that point. But if you can only have spaghetti and meatballs, or say I choose tacos, can I still have like lasagna?
What? No. You can only eat beef tacos.
Oh, that's my only food.
Breakfast, lunch, dinner. The only thing you could ever eat is a beef taco.
That doesn't change my answer at all, because beef tacos are the fucking best.
What did you think the question was?
I thought I had to get rid of one.
Gotcha.
Got it.
No.
But still, I'm actually more excited about it now that I know I only get tacos.
Sorry, that if you could only eat was like...
Yeah.
No, literally... Yeah. The only thing you can eat is beef tacos.
I'll never have to debate like where we're going for food ever again, and I just get tacos. That's the life I want to live.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Tacos and water. That's your diet. Okay.
Love it. All right. Here's my next question. Completely unrelated to my other questions. Pick one adorable character to sacrifice to permanent death.
So they're all standing in front of me.
And you got to pick one of them to just... horribly die.
For what cause?
Any cause. Doesn't matter.
Oh, I need to justify it in my brain.
You make up the... Like, there's a... Okay. For some reason, there's been a rule made that you can only have so much cute things in one place, and one's gotta go.
Okay.
Here are your choices. Pikachu. Toothless. And Baby Yoda.
Wow.
They're fucking three cute-ass things.
I know what's dying. Baby Yoda's dead.
Baby Yoda's dead?
Baby Yoda's gone.
Please explain.
It's simple. I have an emotional connection to Toothless and Pikachu. Baby Yoda is nothing to me other than a cute CGI character that I've seen for about 15 total minutes.
Baby Yoda opened those big eyes and looked into my soul.
Very Puss in Boots eyes, huh?
Very.
Like Puss in Boots ears...
could have made this list almost.
Puss in Boots almost made the list.
Like sad Puss in Boots face?
Yeah.
Could have made this list.
Yeah.
But Baby Yoda, the floppy ears, they reached into my soul and they grabbed my heart.
I would kill Pikachu. I would kill Pikachu next. Toothless is last on the list.
Toothless, for me, there's no chance Toothless is dying.
No.
Toothless is way too cool on top of being cute.
You've seen all of them, all three, yeah?
Yeah. Well, no. Well, I've seen the first two.
Okay. The third one's the best one.
So is it really? Yeah, the first one's great. It's better than the first?
It's better than the first one.
Wow, that's a big claim. That's a hot take.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to watch it.
It's Link's favorite movie.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So Toothless, so you got a connection to Toothless as well.
Toothless is number one.
Toothless is amazing.
All the cute shit can die as long as Toothless lives.
I think Pikachu is going for me. Because there are other Pokemon that I think are even cuter than Pikachu.
So you kill Pikachu first?
Yeah, I'd rather have Bulbasaur.
Oh my god, this dumb fallback to this kickable character.
I'm looking at him right now.
Well, I would say out of all the starter Pokemon, Pikachu's my least favorite.
Fair.
As much as I want to kick Bulbasaur,
yeah,
I would take Bulbasaur over Pikachu as well, because Raichu's stupid.
Yeah, Raichu is a dumb evolution.
And if I'm going to take care of a Pokemon, I need it to evolve.
Baby Yoda, there is no reality that I could ever kill Baby Yoda.
So you'd kill...
I would kill... You know what? I'd kill Toothless before I'd kill Baby Yoda. Said it.
No way.
Baby Yoda also has the Force.
We're not talking about that. We're not talking about that. Well, can I be like Hiccup and fly on Toothless?
Yes.
All right, Toothless is living forever. Mm. Fuck Baby Yoda.
How could you even say those words?
There's no emotional connection to it. It's cute. Don't need it.
It's face.
It's cute.
It connected to my soul.
There's a lot of cute things that can die.
Oh, shit. You are now listening to the Boss Fight Podcast. If you enjoy the content, be sure to share and follow us on all platforms. Oh, yeah. All
right, so let's do this. Let's jump into Track of the Week.
Track of the Week.
Technically, Tracks of the Week.
Tracks, because I have two. I have two tracks.
Let me hear your first Track of the Week.
Yeah, reminder, these are not new cuts that we're listening to. They're just what we're listening to this week that we wanted to mention on the podcast.
Could be 100 years old, even.
My first track I'm listening to is titled Solar Return.
Mm.
And it's by Coda the Friend.
Coda the Friend.
K-O-T-A the Friend. He's like a lo-fi hip-hop artist.
I like lo-fi a little bit.
From New York.
Yeah, chill vibes.
Pretty chill vibes. Mm-hmm. He's on my Moody Vibe Tribe playlist on Spotify.
Moody Vibe Tribe. Got it.
And I've been really digging lo-fi hip-hop, especially while I work or I'm like doing something tedious, like editing photos or that sort of thing.
We should start putting clips in.
Yeah, we can put some clips in. Let's see if we can do that.
See you when I'm back home. See you when I'm back home. You know I'ma come back. You know I'ma come back. Don't you be sad, no. Don't you be sad, no. You know I don't want that. You know I don't want that.
And on the bigger, better stuff, from sleeping on a megabus. I had to move around because I knew that it'd be better for us. Metaphors I never taught without wishing I teleport. Telegraph, send a message home from the hotel that I settled for. Set a goal and water season, feeling chosen prophecy. Life is what you make it, I just made it something I believe. Opportunity or not, it's at the door, then I'ma leave. But I'ma be right back. She knows she done.
If you hear a clip, we figured it out. If you don't, then Paul, what's your next... Or what's your first track of the week?
My first track of the week, I've also been on some chill vibes as of late. My first track of the week is Rich Brian. The song's called Yellow.
That's a good song.
It's a very good song. So you have heard Rich Brian. I'm happy to hear that.
Of course.
That's a great song. He, as we know, he kind of maybe infamously entered the game under a different name that I don't even feel comfortable saying, to be honest, with the song Dat Stick.
Yeah.
He was a bit of a meme at the time, but he's evolved into like a really talented artist. He's got a good mix of singing, rapping. I think he's got a good message, and it's one of those songs that is made 100 times better by the music video. The music video is fantastic.
I was about to say, the music video is great.
Really, really good. He's got like the plastic wrapped on him. He's in the house. It's a great song, great video. Big fan of it.
John tonight. Life looks so easy, all you gotta do is close your eyes. Please don't call the raven, I don't need no help. Bury me a legend, I'ma dig the grave myself.
My second song is also from, well, it's not from a lo-fi artist, but it's like a lo-fi track. This is another one on my Moody Vibe Tribe playlist. And the song is called Alone as a Face Tat.
That sounds like some pretentious shit.
Alone as a Face Tat. And it's by a young kid named Wi-Fi's Funeral.
What?
And it's like a, it's actually like a grimy, he's like a grimy street artist, but he's this song is on like a lo-fi beat and I'm really digging it. So Alone as a Face Tat by Wi-Fi's Funeral. We're giving you guys some deep cuts on this podcast.
That is quite a title and quite a name. Wi-Fi's Funeral.
I kind of like the name.
Like he's killing your Wi-Fi? Is that what he's saying?
Or like live off the grid because he's a weirdo? I don't know. I actually, in full transparency, I hate all of his music other than this song.
I've got a couple artists like that where like every once in a while they'll surprise you with something.
I stumbled across it and I was like, wow, I really like this. I added it to a playlist. I heard it like two or three more times. I'm like, you know what? I just need to go listen to this Wi-Fi's Funeral.
Mm-hmm.
Hated it. Hated everything else I listened to.
Yeah.
But this song, I'm digging.
Hold on. Yeah. Hold on. Hey, listen. Hey, state facts. Drowning some on my mind. Man up in the mirror. Face that. Alone as a face tat. They took away my dog. My heart black. This where it stays at. They took away my dog. My heart black. This where it stays at. Hold on. Yeah. State facts. Drowning some on my mind. Man up in the mirror, face that. Alone as a face tat. They took away my dog, my heart black is where it stays at. They took away my dog, my heart black is where it stays at. Hey, spit, drag my soul deep in the.
So my my second song is actually by an artist who is formerly a YouTube star, a very memey YouTube star by the name of Filthy Frank. He goes now by the name of Joji. His song called Slow Dancing in the Dark.
Never heard it.
It is absolutely not my typical type of music I listen to. It's very chill vibes, like extremely. It's not rap. It's more of a pop track, electronic. It's another really great music video, very artistic. But Filthy Frank, you ever heard of him?
I don't know any of the words you said.
So Filthy Frank is a YouTuber who he got huge on YouTube and kind of in the early days. And he makes the most inappropriate videos that anyone's ever made. Ever.
Okay.
In fact, do you remember a scandal of suicide messaging being inserted into little kid videos on YouTube?
Yep.
Yeah, it was Filthy Frank. Gotcha. And now he is like a platinum pop star.
Wow.
It kind of started as like a troll, I think.
Yeah.
He did funny rap songs. And then he realized, oh, I'm actually really good at this. And now he cleaned up his image and is like blowing up. It's kind of a cool, weird journey he took.
Listening to the Boss Fight Podcast.
G'day, universe. Welcome to the Boss Fight News. Oh, yeah.
All right. So, moving on, because I'm running the agenda.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to sit back and relax.
Relax.
I'm not even going to edit this. This will be the first time you edit a podcast.
Sip that Code Red by Mountain Dew. Please give us money.
Yeah, Mountain Dew might be our only one that we actually could get.
I want that Mountain Dew money so bad, dude.
They'll send us a case a month.
Send me a Mountain Dew fridge. I want to feel it. I want to see it.
Would you rather have a Mountain Dew fridge or a Red Bull fridge? That's like continuously being... This is a rapid fire question for you.
I really want that Mountain Dew money, but I'd rather have a Red Bull fridge.
I think
I want that Red Bull money.
I think I would also take a Red Bull fridge.
Oh, sugar-free Red Bull is a drug.
Yeah.
It's not a drug.
I like the kiwi apple.
It's a good product.
Kiwi apple's great.
I've never had it. I stick to my acid-tasting sugar-free. I don't like flavor. I like the taste of batteries.
The sugar-free's not a pleasant taste.
Tastes like taurine and life.
Yeah, probably.
All right. So here's the big development that's been happening since you got here in town a few days ago.
Wait.
Mm-hmm.
No, yeah, let's do it.
The big development is that I finally bought and started Death Stranding.
That is easily the biggest thing that's happened in quite some time.
Now, we fired up Death Stranding yesterday, right?
Yesterday. It was yesterday.
My new soundbar, Dolby Atmos. Get at us. Give us some of that Dolby money. We fired it up and we sat and we played through the first couple hours of the game. And it blew my fucking mind. It is fucking incredible. Like, it almost doesn't even matter what happens for the rest of the game. It's already a great game.
Yeah.
The beginning is that good.
The first 2 hours is an unexplainable experience.
I love a game that is very cutscene heavy, especially early, you know, really get you in with the story.
Yeah.
I love a good cutscene, and I was just sitting back, and like you said, I feel like I was watching the best sci-fi film of the year.
Yeah, That's how
I felt.
Yeah.
It looks incredible. The gameplay mechanics, like when you actually are playing, and like I said, what I've done so far is a lot of cutscenes, but when I actually was playing, the gameplay mechanics are excellent. Incredible.
Yeah.
Like the traversing the land, and it's just like, it's got this really nice pacing to it where you're just kind of exploring, you're walking around, and it's like, hits you with these moments of like the most intense anxiety I've maybe ever had in a game. Like extremely, extremely anxiety inducing.
Like Resident Evil 2 level anxiety.
Like, I did not know it was going to be so horrifying.
Yeah.
But it's incredible. It's incredible. How far are you in the game?
I am probably... I don't even want to be spoilery, but I'm about 25 hours into Death Stranding.
That's pretty deep.
And from what I understand, I am about 40% through.
Okay.
The thing about me is, like, I think you can play through it. You might even be able to play the whole game in 25 hours, but I'm somebody that does every side quest.
Yeah, I get hooked on that stuff, too. And, like, collecting everything.
Would you care if I told you how many episodes it is? Because I looked
no.
it up.
No.
So the game is 14 episodes.
Okay.
I'm
on two, right?
I'm on episode 4.
Wow. Whoa, really?
You're on 2 right now, and I'm on 4.
Wow.
Yeah. No, sorry. Right before I came here, I got to 5.
Fair.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Episode 3 can be 15 hours of gameplay.
Because there's just so much stuff to just do, so like side stuff and everything. Yeah. You don't have to just go point A to point B.
Nope.
Yeah,
it's more open worldy like that. I mean, it's still like closed, but it turns more open world. And the game really opens up with, you know, I went to that game thinking you're just carrying around packages, which you do throughout the entire game, even where I'm at.
Yep.
But it becomes so much bigger than just carrying around packages. And you're not only running on foot. There's all these types of things I didn't know.
Right.
So you're only doing that for the very beginning. So when you hear people reviewing this game and saying that's all you do, it's because they didn't finish the game.
Yeah.
And they probably played the first 3 hours and was like, here's my review of Death Stranding.
Bullshit. Exposed them.
Exposed them.
Even if I only reviewed the first 3 hours, I'd give it a fucking 9.5. Easy.
It looks great.
It's amazing.
The soundtrack's awesome.
It's the best game soundtrack I've probably heard thus far.
The voice acting is on point.
Incredible. It feels like a Hollywood movie. And it should, because it is full of famous actors.
Yeah.
Famous actors. Guillermo del Toro is awesome by the way.
And he's in the whole game. He's not just a small part of it. He's consistently
awesome.
In the game all the way up to where I'm at. You hear from him every 30 minutes.
Yeah, what's the main guy's name? Walking Dead dude?
Norman Reedus.
He's really good. I have not really seen him in much because I fucking hate zombie anything and never watched Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Maybe to my detriment. A lot of people have said that at least at one point in time that show was incredible.
Yeah, the first few seasons are really, really good.
But he's great. His mocap, I'm assuming he's doing all the mocap because it's very, the game also has incredible facial rendering.
Yeah.
Like, it's a movie. Like, it really is a movie. You weren't kidding saying it was the best sci-fi movie of the year. I was blown away.
This is something we probably should talk about today because nominations came out. But it's been nominated for 9 different categories for the Game Awards.
Wow.
9, including Game of the Year.
Game of the Year, the big one.
And it is like head and shoulders above just your normal run-of-the-mill video game. Hideo Kojima had a great vision for it. Everyone that worked on it, applause to you. But Game of the Year awards or Game of the Year nominee.
Go ahead and read out the Read out the other nominees. I'm curious to see what they're up against.
So, Death Stranding just came out a few weeks ago, and there's another game that just came out a few weeks ago that was nominated, which is The Outer Worlds, which is like an RPG, action RPG.
Hearing great stuff about that.
Yep, I haven't played that, but
it's a Fallout killer. Yeah. I'm hearing of that game.
People are really, really, really into it. So, So we got The Outer Worlds, Death Stranding, Sekiro, Shadows
great.
Die Twice.
I've heard that's the hardest game ever.
People...
I'll never play it.
Because it's too hard?
Too fucking hard. I don't have time for that anymore.
But, like, do you really trust people like that?
Well, it's made by the same people who made, what is considered, the other hardest games, Dark Souls.
Yeah.
And from what I've seen of Dark Souls, and I played, a few minutes the first one, I believe it. I believe it is that hard. They're kind of, they practice in that ancient art form that you used to get, on Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
What they did on Super Nintendo
was...
If you die, you die.
Yeah.
And they couldn't fit a very big game on those little cartridges back in the day. So what they did was they made it as hard as possible so you'd get a lot of playing time out of it.
Yep.
Without having a lot of content. And they're the only company that still practices that. But the games are also huge. you know, so I bet that's hard. But I haven't played it, so I can't speak on its worthiness as Game of the Year.
So we got Outer Worlds, Death Stranding, Sekiro, Shadows Die Twice, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, which is the first ever Smash Bros. Nomination.
Well deserved, too, because it's fucking good.
The single player is an amazing campaign version of that game.
It's great.
It's fantastic.
With that RPG overworld.
Going around the map and unlocking characters and doing all that sort of thing. Super Smash Bros. Ultimate is fantastic. And we just talked about how it's smashing records for fighter games. I'm very pleased that it was nominated for Game of the Year, because this type of Nintendo game is never up for Game of the Year.
It's not
artsy enough. It's not, yeah. So yeah, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, super dope. This next one will be fun. Resident Evil 2.
Two?
The remake of the original, PS2? PS1?
Should that count?
I don't think so.
I don't think you should be able to up-convert some textures and improve some physics engines and some lighting engines and call it a Game of the Year. I don't think that's fair at all. I don't care how good the game is.
Yeah, the game was one of my favorite games as a child, but I totally agree with you that you can't just redo something and it wins Game of the Year.
I mean, there are so many remakes every year anyways, they can make that its own category. Remaster of the Year.
Yeah, true.
There are that many.
Yeah, the original came out, let me try to pull this up, in 1998.
Jeez.
Yeah.
So it's a ground up rebuild, I'm assuming, but still it's remaking a game.
Completely brand new. I will say that it's in one of my fondest memories of gaming, because it's the first horror game I played.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I think I actually played it on the 64.
Oh, yeah. That time makes sense.
And I will always remember playing Resident Evil 2 because I was playing in the basement of our house as a child and it was unfinished.
Mm.
So you see a bunch of studs with no drywall and all that.
That's scary.
Playing a singular chair in this big open space with a TV right in front of my face.
Uh-huh.
And behind me was the slider, sliding glass door. My dad thought it'd be funny to know I was playing Resident Evil 2. I was doing the math, 10 years old when it came out.
Mm-hmm.
I was playing. I would have the volume down really quiet so it wouldn't scare me when things jumped out.
Yeah.
And he banged as hard as he could on the slider while I was playing that game. And I might have peed a little.
I wouldn't even blame you.
There you go.
Something about me, I hate horror anything with a passion.
Yeah.
So tell me this. Am I in for a lot of scares in Death Stranding?
No. What you saw was...
I've seen the peak of as scary as it gets.
Yeah, because it's just a bunch more of that.
Got it. Okay.
There's not
I hate scary
There's
stuff.
Not jump scares.
Okay, good.
It's more suspense than it is horror.
Okay, I could deal with that.
And the last game is Control, which
never
also...
Never heard of it.
Never heard of Control?
No.
Interesting.
Having played only two games on this list, I believe, I'm going to go ahead and call it right now. Super Smash Bros. Should win it.
Yeah, that'd be cool if it did.
Don't get me wrong. Death Stranding, I'm still early. And it could do a lot of really great things, but Super Smash Bros. Just represents something totally different.
Yeah.
It almost is weird to put it in the Game of the Year category, but it's just so good. There are a few games that offer that sort of endless hours of fun.
Yep.
And like playing with your friends and multiplayer and just, it's just so magical.
Yeah. Dope.
All right. So moving right along because I'm running it.
I love just sitting here. This
I
is
bet
great.
You do. Let's talk about the most recent, well, technically there's one tonight, but the most recent for us episode of Watchmen.
Oh, yeah. Let's do that.
Watchmen, I think, I mean, I've loved it from the beginning. I thought it was great. I thought it had all the vibes right from the beginning. But I think it now has turned the corner and become something even better.
Yeah.
Because we're starting to, they're starting to answer some of the questions already of why the world's the way it is. Things that we could sort of fill in from our knowledge of the book.
Yep.
But people who have never read the book, there's no way they could have. They've been like, why the fuck are squids falling out of the sky?
yeah.
Like, what the fuck is this random shit? It's probably why it gets 600,000 viewers a week, because that's the only people who know it.
Yeah.
But they've answered some questions. We've got a look into what's going on with Veidt, Adrian Veidt, you know. Very, very interesting.
Very, very freaking interesting.
He is a mastermind.
Yeah.
Which we knew. We knew because he masterminded the squid attack. But the fact that he basically set in motion the whole plan to get Robert Redford elected president and seemingly is able to pull some puppet strings.
Yeah.
Probably has been having some power. It's very interesting.
I still don't understand why Robert Redford. I don't get that connection. That doesn't really matter. But I still like am wondering why Robert Redford.
I bet you it's just... I bet it's a style choice as much as anything. He fits the age. He fits the type of person. Watchmen, you know, with its alternate history of like Richard Nixon getting reelected all those times and just the way that it propped up different figures.
Yeah.
I think he just kind of, he just fits the time and the vibe, I think. It might end up being something deeper than that, but I don't think so. I think it's just this idea of celebrity.
Yeah.
Rising to power, which we're seeing today also.
Yeah, fair enough.
So if you're making a movie today about a future president or an alternate reality president, you're probably going to pick a celebrity because that's kind of, that's in our future. I mean, we have it right now.
Yeah.
You know? So I think that might be part of it.
Yeah, it's interesting. But yeah, he didn't just do the squid attack.
Yeah.
He was obviously a genius, but setting a lot of things in motion to kind of shape the world how he wants it.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely getting a lot of answers on what's been going on with him. Sorry, not a lot of... We're getting some answers that result in more questions,
mm-hmm.
but at least we're getting some payoff of like what the hell's going on with him and all these clones that he's doing and why, and he's using them to test. What is he testing? All this type of stuff.
Yeah, and it seems like he's on one of the moons of Jupiter.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you would guess like Europa, but like we don't really know. I guess
he probably got put there by Dr. Manhattan.
It looks like he's in a
like an alternate reality bubble, or like a he's in some sort of
like a holodeck.
Yeah. Or like he's in Wakanda.
Yeah, with like the the bubble shield.
Yeah, you can't see it.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't know it's there.
Yeah, only from the inside. Yep.
Right. That's really interesting. And he'd alluded to it before. He was talking about, like, I've been here for all this time, and I thought it was great, but I've realized it's a prison, you know?
And now you know why he can't actually leave.
Right.
Yeah.
It's super interesting. I really like this take. I think I'm interested to see how he ends up interacting with Earth again.
Like, how he gets back.
Clearly he's trying to get back. He has grotesquely written his message on the surface.
Yes. Doing his version of an SOS.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Very, very gross.
And now, you're just like, oh my gosh, it makes sense what he's doing.
Right.
He has to make clones because he's the only person. There's no other people that he could use.
Right. What were some of the other big reveals? Like Looking Glass. This episode was about Looking Glass.
Well, one of the big reveals, which wasn't a surprise, was the governor.
Yeah.
Was a part of the 7th Cavalry.
It's a whole bigger plan going on.
Yeah.
And they're trying to basically...
It brings some credibility to 7th Cavalry.
It does.
That they're not just loony conspiracy people.
Right.
There's some smart figures in the 7th Cavalry. There's different layers to it. Maybe the grunt level 7th Cavalry don't really know what's going on, so they just think it's about, like, some weird racist shit.
Right.
But on its way up to, like, who's leading it, it's not even about that at all. It's about some sort of, like, fighting back against Dr. Manhattan type things,
I
think.
Right.
I don't really know yet. I guess we don't know. But what I was getting was they're trying to use technology to be able to combat with Dr. Manhattan. I don't know why I got that vibe.
Yeah, it does seem like that. It's like people are on the Earth are still mad at Dr. Manhattan.
Yeah.
For the initial attack.
And then for leaving and not helping fix.
Leaving and not helping. And this is where actually I think I differ from a lot of people, because the movie ending and the comic ending are very different.
Yep.
The comic ending is Adrian Veidt masterminds this plan and figures out this teleportation technology using, like, Dr. Manhattan's help for moving matter around to basically manufacture and then teleport this giant squid onto New York, right? Not everyone's read the book. I mean, spoilers, it's a 30-year-old book, so get over it. But in the movie, the ending's completely different. In the movie, the ending is Adrian Veidt builds a bomb using Dr. Manhattan's energy signature, and then detonates that bomb in New York, and then Dr. Manhattan gets blamed for it because it matches his energy signature. So everyone jumps to that conclusion,
and he
leaves Earth.
Yep.
In the comic book, he only leaves Earth because he didn't defend them. And everyone all of a sudden hates Dr. Manhattan because he didn't defend him from the giant squid. That just, I feel like, doesn't make as much sense. Like, it doesn't have as much obvious closure as the movie ending does.
Yeah.
The movie ending, I think, is way better for a movie, for one, but it's also just more concise. But now the show can expand it, it might be better this way. It might be better this way because now you can give it more background.
Why I like the squid.
Yeah.
I totally get what you're saying if we're only discussing Dr. Manhattan. To me, if we're discussing the world of Watchmen, the squid, what Veidt was trying to do is unify humans to stop fighting.
Yeah,
and this goes back to, like, would you kill 3 million people to save the world, or would you let the chances be that everyone might die?
Right.
And there's all that sort of debate. But what it does, what the squid does, is unify the world what they think is happening is they're being invaded by aliens.
Right.
That's what this giant squid is.
Interdimensional psychic monster.
Yes. So I think they're being invaded by aliens, so now all the world has to join forces to defend itself from aliens, because now we know we're not alone in the world. If it is just like a nuclear bomb that goes off, then there's still us versus you. There's still which country knew about it, didn't know about it, what's going on with this and that.
That's a great point.
It's still human-related conflict.
Yeah.
And I think what the squid does is unifies the entire world of it's humans versus others, even though there is no others.
That's a brilliant point, actually.
I think
that's totally right. And I hadn't really thought of it that way. So basically, if it's just a bomb, even if Dr. Manhattan gets incorrectly blamed for it...
Dr. Manhattan worked for the United States.
He worked for the United States. So the Soviet Union's still going to look at that and say, oh, their own guy fucking sabotaged them. We're still pissed at the United States. It doesn't change anything.
Yeah.
But if you have an alien threat from another dimension...
Yeah.
Can't blame anybody.
I think that's what Veidt was more clear. Ozymandias was more clear about in the comics is the reason he wanted it to be, because he brought a bunch of scientists around the world that bought into the idea to create this squid to feel alien.
Yep.
So they can do this, and they were all on the same page that this would unite the race of humans.
Go figure. Alan Moore is a better writer than Zack Snyder.
I totally get your point, though. If we're talking repercussions of Dr. Manhattan alone.
Yeah.
The
blame getting put on him makes more sense with it being the bomb.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, because he was going to leave Earth kind of regardless, because he was becoming more of like a nihilist, I guess. Like, nothing matters. Like, that's his whole bit.
He's very objective, which is why he agrees with Ozymandias that killing 3 million people was
probably the right payoff. Choice. Yeah.
Because he has no emotional connection, and that's when Rorschach's like, you could have saved them. And he's, Dr. Manhattan's like, well, Ozymandias was right.
Right.
And then,
what's interesting is obviously what Veidt did in the comic book is heinous, right? He killed a lot of people.
Yeah.
But he did it under the guise of being a hero, right? Like, thinking he's doing the right thing for humanity. It's and like arguably was.
Smaller level Thanos approach,
100%. Smaller level Thanos, and it probably did serve a greater good. Like, let's assume that in this universe of Watchmen, a nuclear war was about to start.
Yeah.
He prevented it, right?
Yep.
What's interesting about the show is now kind of making him out to be a bad guy.
Yep.
More so.
Yeah.
Like, he wants to do more stuff. He's pulling more strings. He's more manipulative than we had thought he was. And it seems like he always wanted more than that initial plan, which I think is interesting. Because I think that almost goes counter to how they established him in the book.
Yeah. It's this, like, how do they propose this model when you're doing, like, an analysis, a psychology analysis? So it's like, if there's a train track, yeah, and it's going straight, but there's a Y that goes to the left, okay? We established a straight train track. The straight track has 10 people on it, tied to it, that are going to die. The track to the left has one person on it that'll die. If you're the only person in the train and you could pull a lever, are you deciding to kill the one, or do you not play God and let the 10 die? That's what this whole philosophy is about, is Ozymandias decided to pull the lever and kill the one, but he has to live with that guilt. He has to live with that decision. He has to live with being blamed.
Yeah.
But he was on the train. He pulled the lever. He killed the one when everything was looking like it was going to kill the 10.
Right? Yeah.
That's kind of like how all these theories and white papers have been written around Watchmen, because this is actually like a deep level.
It is.
Like, pretty intense decision.
It is.
And he was willing to do that.
It seems like in the book, you know, his character made it with that sort of thought in mind.
Yeah.
Like, it was a tough sacrifice and he was willing to sacrifice. And in the movie as well, they, you know, he was very remorseful, it seemed. You know, he's like...
He's not a supervillain.
He's not at all a supervillain. He's more of an antihero.
Yeah.
But it seems like in the show, maybe he's cracked a little bit. And maybe they want him to be a little more evil.
Yeah, yeah. Probably. We'll see where we go.
We will see how it goes. But like the baby squid raining, that's now been answered. That's just like a little after echo of him reminding everybody that this shit's still out there.
Yeah.
And we see that Looking Glass and other people are like basically wrapping themselves in that reflectatine, I think they called it.
Something like
that. He wears like a hat lined with it.
And it's all fake.
To protect from the psychic waves. And he found out that everything he thought was fake. And that was incredible.
Yeah, it sounded like there was still like this agreement between Veidt and the government that they were going to generate these squid rains.
Right.
That's what it sounded like to me.
That's, I think, heavily implied by his video to Robert Redford.
That the government is doing the squid rain.
Like, hey, we can make this all work, and we can keep this story up, but you need to work with me.
Yep.
So we have to probably assume that Redford is totally compromised by Veidt and is in on everything, and the government in general is in on everything. And the governor was like... It took me a long time to get a bootleg of this, which implies that there's a lot of copies of it around. High-ranking people in government are all probably in on it, which is interesting.
The show is great.
It's fucking great.
More people need to watch this.
It's great. I mean, like, I hope people listening to us are caught up, but because this is very spoilery.
Well, some people like spoilers before watching.
So sometimes you know what? You can do spoilers sometimes. TV shows, I think, are one of those things that it's fair. It's fair game. Yeah. Give it a week. It's been a week.
It's been a week.
You could spoil it.
And yeah, this is a big debate that's going on. You're now the fifth person I've had this debate with about, like, not a debate, but discussion around the decision around the Ozymandias Veidt.
Yeah.
I had an epic, like, hour and a half long argument with my brothers about this. One of my brothers is team Ozymandias. One of my brothers is team not playing God.
Yeah.
Where do you land on that decision? Do you pull the lever on the train track and kill the one? Or do you not get involved? It's not your problem. And the 10 die because you're not God.
Honestly, I think I have a different answer probably depending on this scenario. The specific Veidt scenario.
Yeah.
I'm probably not going that path. Okay. I'll probably let things go how they're supposed to go, because you cannot know every possible outcome.
You can't. Especially it's just probability, right?
We're talking about this many players and factors. We're talking about he's 100% assuming that Gorbachev is definitely launching his nukes.
Yep.
Nixon's definitely launching his nukes. There is absolutely no way to stop it. And that's wrong.
Yeah.
That's not true at all. He can't know that. You can calculate odds all you want, but humans do things and change history all the time. There could be somebody who's in charge of turning the key on the warheads who says, no, I'm not doing that, you know, and sabotages it somehow or something. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's just a million outs. Well, if we're talking about 1 versus 10 on the train tracks, yeah, that one's gonna have to get it. I'm pulling that lever.
Because you're saying it's guaranteed, you know there's 10.
Yeah.
So you're saying it's easier for you.
If there's a chance that those 10 are gonna, like, get off the track in time.
Yeah.
But no chance that one's going to get off. Like, guaranteed that one is dying no matter what. But a 50-50 shot that the 10 are dying, probably going for the 10.
What if the one is a baby and the 10 are all 80 plus years old?
That absolutely changes it.
See, this is where my brothers and
that
I
absolutely
got.
Absolutely changes
we
it.
We continued all these scenarios until we decided if the, we were lawful good.
The 80-year-olds are dying.
The 80-year-olds are dying.
You okay. had your time. You had your time. I mean, just like, that goes even beyond just like my opinion of old people. Like, that's not yeah. even a statement on what I feel about old people. That's just a statement of fact on our species and being a human being. You know, your time is served. You've done your job as a human, basically, yeah. at that point. Which I don't even know personally what that job is. I don't subscribe to the notion necessarily that we have a job. But
yeah.
if anyone has done their job already, it's people who are going to die in a couple years anyways. You can go. We'll give that baby a shot to be a life-changing nuclear physicist or something.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Very interesting philosophy discussion.
It is. Yeah. Watchmen has this philosophical depth to it. The yeah. book always has, and it's one of the reasons that I probably would say it is my favorite book. There's a reason that it's, as a graphic novel, one of Time Magazine's 50 best English language novels of all time.
Yeah, as a graphic novel.
That's very awesome.
Against any book.
Because it is brilliant. Yeah. It's brilliant. It has a shit ton of depth.
And there's not a clear-cut answer. So
there's not a clear-cut answer. There's not. You know what there is a clear-cut answer to? Do we like angular-ass pickup trucks that are electric? I'm running this show, and that's how you do a transition.
I am proud of your transition. I always try to pride myself on them. That was about as smooth as transitions get, I think.
Elon Musk has come out. He has shown the world the Cybertruck. And it's safe to say... it's generating some buzz.
It is.
This is probably the most talked about vehicle reveal in history. When was the last time someone was like, oh, the new F-150, let's peep that. This is big deal.
Yeah, it's bigger than the electric Porsche that came out recently.
Big time. Bigger which than is the, fire, by the way.
Bigger than the, oh, it's Porsche, sorry.
Yes, exactly. Come on.
We're
cultured on this podcast.
Bigger than the electric BMW. It's bigger than the Model X Tesla.
Definitely.
It's bigger than his spaceship reveal.
Which is fucked up.
Which doesn't make any sense.
Let's talk about why it's bigger than those things.
Well, for me, it's obviously just because it looks like it's from the year 2500.
It's made of like 5 polygons.
Yeah, it's awesome. I
like,
love it.
Like, really, it is. Like, it has 5 sides, basically.
Yeah. I mean, I was watching kind of like the live stream, not the video, but just like live stream tweet updates. But the reason why it has all the buzz is because the Tesla glass was a giant fail.
Okay, that was one of the most awkward moments I've ever seen happen on camera.
Yeah, and it involved Elon Musk, which is already awkward.
Most things he does are fucking awkward. Like yeah. when he puffed that weed on Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
That meme will live forever. Guy is not maybe human.
Yeah. Ozymandias-like.
He is very Ozymandias-like. That, the assistant saying, maybe I should throw it at the back window. Like, after the first one went so well, Elon's like, yeah, try that.
The second one shatters, and he like kind of giggles and goes, we'll fix this.
He goes, well, it didn't go through.
Yeah, it didn't go through, yeah. Yeah, because they're basically unveiling like this new Tesla glass that can't break.
Yeah, they say that he said, I literally threw the kitchen sink at it.
Yeah.
And it never broke.
Yep.
So
let's talk about how smart this guy is who runs a company that builds spaceships.
Yeah.
And he has literally transformed transportation with his electric vehicles, electric trucks, electric semis. Do you really think they would unveil Tesla glass and have it break? Are you telling me they didn't test this?
It was 100% planned. 100% planned.
Yeah.
I think this is the most genius free publicity he could have possibly gotten. I think that now he gets the opportunity to, first off, get millions upon millions of impressions online.
Yeah,
free. On a vehicle. I mean, it's still just a truck. I mean, granted, it's an electric truck that could be really game-changing, but still, it's just a truck. He's getting all this free press. And now he gets the opportunity to fix it a month or two from now, come out with a new video or a new do a new demonstration and show, look, we're such good engineers over here. We're so good at what we do. Look, we fixed it. Now you can not only throw this little metal ball at it, he's probably going to now next time throw some giant shit at it. And it'll deflect it. He's like, oh, better than ever.
And then he'll get all the same amount of impressions because all those people yep. will come back again and say, oh, yep. wow, look at this.
They'll come back again and they'll be like, what a brilliant guy. Like, he took such a trying moment and yeah. turned it into this greatness, you know? And yeah, I think it's planned. And I think it's brilliant. Because as we found, this truck is getting pre-ordered like crazy.
Yeah, so the latest number is 200,000 pre-orders.
It's insane.
Their tagline is better truck than an F-150, faster than a Porsche 911.
It's like 0 to 60 in like 2.9 seconds.
Yeah, they unveiled this video of F-150 against the Cybertruck pulling against each other.
And whoa, I haven't seen that.
The Cybertruck pulls it while the F-150's burning rubber.
Wow, easy too.
Yeah, but it's just like a base F-150, sure. So it's like not even meant to really
didn't hit him with that hot F-150.
But yeah, it's pretty wild. And he even kind of says, you know, 200,000 Cybertruck orders so far with no advertising and no paid endorsements.
Insane. And what, it starts at 40 grand, yeah?
I don't even know the price.
I think the rear-wheel drive single motor is, I think, about 40,000.
Yeah.
And then there is a all-wheel drive double motor, I think that's about 50,000. And then a triple motor.
Right.
That's 60,000.
He already broke this out. 42% of people are choosing the dual. Mm-hmm. 41 try and only 17 did single motor.
Very interesting. So they're yeah. even going for the expensive one.
Yeah.
So it's going to make a ton of money.
But he says right there, look at all these orders with no advertising, yeah. no endorsements. Yeah. Like, as in, I'm pretty sure they planned that glass breaking.
100%.
Yeah.
Like, the spin is too good.
Because everyone wants to point at a really smart guy and be like, no, guess what? He's actually dumb.
Yeah.
And that's what yeah. happened.
People love it.
People love
idiots
it.
Idiots love that.
Yeah.
They like to see the people that they're intimidated by look weak mm-hmm. for even just a moment. And yeah, he looked like an idiot.
He did.
But I think he was prepared to look like an idiot.
I agree with you. I think it was on purpose.
Yeah.
I haven't heard too many people talking about that, but I agree with you when you brought it up that I think it was intentional.
Yeah. I just see that being very, very possible. Yeah. Now let's talk about the actual truck itself. This is super polarizing.
Yeah.
I'm going to say the majority of reactions that I've seen have been negative.
Yep.
People think it's the ugliest fucking thing ever to be revealed ever.
Yeah.
Where do you stand?
I think the complete opposite. I think it is the coolest, most yeah. swaggy,
yeah.
sexy, dripped up vehicle fucking I've ever fire, seen dude. In my life.
Dude, I want that shit so bad. I want to hop out that shit in some Nike Air Mags. I want to hop out that bitch. I want to ghost ride that whip.
I want some purple underglow.
Ooh.
I want all sorts of shit on dude, my
that truck side. Is fire, bro. I might bring back spinners for that whip, bro.
I've seen a few really cool renderings of like that truck as the Halo Warthog oh. and that truck as a few other things. Dude. It's going to be in Cyberpunk 2077.
Which is going to be phenomenal.
Yep, so that's pretty cool. But yeah, super futuristic.
Did you see the art director of Blade Runner?
Yeah.
Said I fucking love it.
Yeah, yeah. It looks like it'd be from Blade
Incredible.
Runner. Yeah.
I'm 100% on board. I think people are just scared by shit that looks new and different, and people don't think they can pull it off. I think that's a confidence problem. If you think your shit's too loud, too crazy, that says something about you.
Yeah. No, I agree.
I want that loud shit.
I'm super into it.
I think it's fire.
I think it looks great.
I think that, I think 50 years from now, this is what vehicles will kind of look like. I think cars are going to be smaller. I think we're going to be probably onto self-driving by that point in time.
Yep.
We'll probably have done away with the need for trucks in a lot of ways. But I think the style, the design, the simplicity, I think this is where we're going. I yeah. think we see it in a lot of ways.
Yep.
So after that really smooth transition.
Oh, let's hear this one.
Let's talk about something totally unrelated.
I love not hosting. Now you know how easy it is.
Joker 2. Now tell me.
I hate it. Wait, tell you what.
I was going to tell you to give me your initial one-word reaction to me saying out loud Joker 2.
Vomit.
Vomit. That's a fucking great word.
What's your one word?
Why?
Oh, that's a good word.
It's a simple word.
Mine has closure.
Yours has closure. Yours is more colorful. But mine, like, really speaks to, like, in my soul how I feel. And it's why. I know the answer to the why.
Money.
This movie made something like 18 to 20 times its production budget. Crossed $1 billion. Comic book movies do that. This type of comic book movie, rated R, they don't do that.
Yeah.
And now the studio, they're fucking all riled up about it. They're like, we need to cash in on this. Joker 2, already in pre-development.
What I would rather have is some other stuff I'm seeing, which is Todd Phillips just doing his own little universe of origin stories that are unrelated.
Yeah. Like, he could do a whole series of rated R, you know, he can do more obscure characters and shit. That'd be kind of interesting. You know, or he could just get the fuck out of comic book movies because he doesn't need to do it.
No.
He made a movie that is good. It's effective. It was timed right with society.
Yeah.
It was one of the best performances ever on screen.
Yeah.
No question about that. And it's just really sad to even think about them turning this into a cash grab and looking at it for just the money. I mean, it's a business. It's capitalism. They're going to look at it for the money. But you can't just run it into the ground. You're going to ruin it.
Yeah, so I have no... at this point, I have no interest in Joker 2. It doesn't excite me. It does the opposite. So that's my initial reaction. Now, like, this movie's not getting made at this point.
Pre-development.
But they want to make it.
They really want to make it.
Yeah.
And I think that once you've made $1 billion, I could see, is this a Warner Brothers movie?
Yeah.
I would think so.
Yeah.
They're going to throw shocking amounts of money at Joaquin, at Todd Phillips, at everybody involved. They're going to throw shocking amounts of money, and we're going to really see if they care more about the art or about the money. Because right off, you know, off Joker, they were like, no, we're not doing another one.
Yeah.
It'd have to really be something special. And just making green lighting another one right away is not something special. I'd be shocked if Joaquin Phoenix wanted to play Joker again.
He said in interviews he would if it made sense.
Yeah.
This is pre-Joker 2 announcement.
Yeah.
Todd Phillips said he would if it made sense, if they thought there was more to pull out of that character.
Yeah.
Not interested at the moment.
Do you ever want a Watchmen DC universe crossover movie?
No.
Did you like that series at all? Like the Doomsday Clock?
It was...
I read the first, like, two issues. I liked them because it was just so exciting to see the Watchmen, you know, again.
It is funny thinking Watchmen are DC Comics.
It's weird, right?
Yeah.
You know, and seeing, you know, kind of Dr. Manhattan and Superman battle each other and seeing who's behind what and the Batman picking up the comedian pin. Like, that was very weird to see.
It's cool.
How would that translate to a feature film?
I would much rather see the other mashup that's been around, which is like Batman TMNT, which are awesome comics.
Oh my god, that'd be sick. I would love that.
They're all ninjas going out and solving.
I think we're ready for an adult TMNT movie.
Yeah.
Again. I think we're ready.
Yeah. But to answer your question, no, I wouldn't be interested in it. Would you? You would want to see that on screen?
Not on screen. Hell no.
I'm fine with the comics.
Hey, if comics are fine, because you can kind of... Sometimes you can take comics with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
Like, because comics will sometimes do, like, you know, the stuff you've always wanted to see that you can sort of choose to not make it canon if you don't want to.
Or even Batman Spawn or, like, some of these other, like, mashups.
Yeah. There's some cool opportunities out there. You've got me pumped up, though, talking about TMNT.
Did you not know about the Batman TMNT comics?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Well, maybe. I never read any of them.
Gotcha. They're actually really good.
I want a fucking new, gritty TMNT movie.
There you go.
I think we're ready.
I'm ready. No, I'm not. I'm done with TMNT.
Are you done?
This might be a little known fact, but I've read all the comics up until about 6 months ago in the history of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Wow.
Like, I'm up to issue 500.
Jesus.
And I've read them all.
That's impressive.
So I'm done with them.
All right. Staying on movies. This transition, we're getting better. We're staying in genre.
Okay.
1917. A World War I film.
Yeah.
That I have seen only very little about.
Yeah.
I saw one little teaser. What I'm more impressed by, this is a fucking 2-hour movie. It's one shot.
I don't believe it.
I don't either.
It's hard to believe that.
Apparently it's true.
Yeah, I know nothing about it other than what you told me last night. And then we wanted to talk about it today. So I know little other than my disbelief.
Sam Mendes directing. It is apparently about soldiers going through the battle, getting through the front lines, doing some sort of what seems like maybe a rescue type mission, a la, you know, Saving Private Ryan style. And it's one shot, and it's 2 hours long, and it's a movie with like thousands of extras, explosions, giant sets. I mean, it's World War One. I mean, we're seeing giant battlefields. Yeah. One shot.
And when we say one shot, we literally mean someone holding a camera,
mm-hmm.
pressing record,
yep.
and recording for 2 hours straight.
2 hours.
With no stopping.
None.
No resetting up.
No changing angles. No nothing.
We change angles.
One, changing angles, but I mean switching cameras.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sorry, yeah.
No. From what I know.
No switching cameras.
I believe it's a single camera as
Is it
well.
A single take or a one shot?
Apparently it's single take.
Well, because you could have single take with 10 cameras, is what I'm saying.
I don't know.
Because you could be like a play that you're recording with 50 cameras.
But see, if you were doing 10 cameras, that would totally open up to be able to fake it.
Yeah, you're right.
I think that the director probably really, and maybe in a slight gimmicky way, want this to look like one take.
Okay. So yeah, we're talking about one person, one camera, well, probably a bunch of people with one camera, recording an entire movie without stopping it, and then at the end of it saying, boom, movie's done.
Movie's done.
We
and
just
then
did
nailing all- every explosion, every extra off scene, every piece of dialogue, every interaction, just rolling with it.
It would feel more real, for sure.
Definitely. And that's what, you know, he's saying he wanted to go for. He wanted to capture the idea of a soldier going through the war and you're there with him, living it.
Do you know if it's supposed to be first person?
It's not first person.
Okay, so it's not like
Cloverfield. I know that from the teaser I saw.
It's not like Cloverfield.
No.
Okay.
No. And that would actually, I think that would be simpler, right? Because you can, that's like a distracting gimmick also when you do the first person thing, the home video style.
Yeah.
I think that would be way easier to do one take. When you have multiple people interacting and you're just the third party
observer.
So it's
just like a cinematic third party narrative.
Yep.
Okay.
So basically, early reactions, this movie comes out on Christmas. Early reactions of this movie, best war film since Saving Private Ryan, which is a huge claim because
Saving
Private
Ryan. Better than Dunkirk.
Dunkirk is incredible. So it's got big shoes to fill for me because I think Dunkirk was amazing. Dunkirk also utilized some really good long single shots, really tense moments. I think that's really effective in war movies. Saving Private Ryan does that, as a matter of fact.
Saving Private Ryan is a really good movie.
Saving Private Ryan is an absolute like epic. That movie is something else. Yeah. But best war movie since Saving Private Ryan, and a lot of people are already touting it as an Oscar favorite. So we're going to have to see if this does feel like a gimmick when we watch it. Because it could. But going back to your top five sci-fi list, one of the best things about Children of Men, and I fully agree, is that single long take.
20 minutes.
That long take is one of the most tense scenes I've seen in a movie. And it is because it's playing out in real time.
Yeah, so imagine 2 hours of that instead of 20 minutes.
2 hours. And in World War One, so like the scale, like that fight in that city in Children of Men, which was huge and grand, take that and blow it up to World War One size where it's like whole armies fighting.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I mean, I'm into it.
Crazy. How many times would they have retried?
A lot.
And that's a lot of money, I bet. All those explosives. You gotta remove all the stuff into place.
Man, everyone's got to memorize their dialogue for 2 hours, which is totally possible.
Right. I mean, like, because if they're doing a play or something, sometimes you're up there, you got to know all your dialogue.
Yeah.
You know, but even then, and I bet they're given some freedom to ad-lib a little bit, you know, so it feels even more real, which is, would be tough because it's, you know, 1917. So you got to ad-lib as somebody who lives in 1917. That'd be hard to do.
With references and slang.
Yeah,
and
imagine turning your slang off when you're just talking and ad-libbing. It'd be hard as hell.
Yeah.
They had totally different ways of speaking back then. Everyone sounded like they were announcing vintage baseball games. Coming up to the plate, that's what they sounded like. Every human sounded like that.
A lot of people did, yeah.
Yeah, like they had like something over their face.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's real. Okay. We didn't watch any trailers for 1917.
No.
We didn't do that because we don't like spoilers.
I don't want to.
Let's talk about episode 9.
Star Wars. I hate it already. 9. I hate it.
You have avoided the trailers like the plague. You've seen nothing. You've looked at nothing. You've read nothing.
Literally nothing.
Literally tried your damnedest.
Never saw a poster.
Not one.
Never saw a toy.
What happened to you as we went to record this podcast?
I had the movie ruined for me. Mm. I was like, hey, are we missing any news? Let me just hop on IGN real quick.
Yeah, we're just pulling news.
And I got spoiled on something that makes me not want to go watch the movie.
Should we spoil it here for everybody else?
I think we can because it's...
Everyone else watches
trailers. It's in the trailer.
It's in the posters.
It's in the posters. It's in
the trailers. It's all the promos.
I mean, that's what I hear from you because I didn't know about
this. I can confirm yes.
All right, well, we're going to spoil something that's only in the trailer and only in the posters.
If you've avoided it as well as Steven, turn us off now.
Well, apparently it's so normal that you can just put it in headlines of news.
Right. It is that normal.
On IGN.
It's that normal.
Okay, so here we go in 3, 2, 1. I didn't know Palpatine was coming back.
Such a big deal. It's such a major deal for the entire film. For the entire history of
Star Wars. Now I get why you're so mad.
Uh-huh.
You shouldn't know that.
No.
How can they keep fucking Baby Yoda a secret?
Uh-huh. The cutest thing ever.
For something... I'm going to call it small in The Mandalorian, mm-hmm. because Mandalorian's not making them $1 billion.
No. It's not the core franchise.
How can you be so secretive about something as minute as Baby Yoda, where you don't even want to make fucking toys so people don't get spoiled about Baby Yoda... Mm-hmm. When now I have been spoiled on something that should have never, ever, ever, ever been released, announced, discussed, shown, anything.
It should have been one of the most exciting reveals in the history of Star Wars movies. Because, you know, that's one of the things that Star Wars movies can do well. Force Awakens did it fairly well.
Yeah.
Secret reveals, surprises, those moments that make everyone in the theater clap.
You don't understand how... You probably do. I'm so annoyed that I just saw that.
Yeah. I watched the first trailer kind of stupidly, but I think actually I was watching something on TV and it was like one of those things where they slide the trailer in there before the commercial break type thing.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'll watch it. It's the first trailer. It's just going to be teasery. And the end of the trailer, you hear fucking Palpatine laugh.
Wow.
And I went, holy shit, Palpatine's alive? I mean, like, what does this mean for Snoke? What does this mean for, you know, in general, what does this mean for the Sith? What's this mean for the First Order and, like, you know, that where they're getting their power from? Does Kylo know that he's around?
Yeah.
Well, how is he going to interact with Kylo? Because I've always had theories from the beginning about Snoke, you know, Snoke being either the resurrection of Palpatine or something like that, because they were looking for immortality, him and his master.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be connected somehow. So I was sort of like maybe expecting a Palpatine connection at some point. But to just show me. And by the way, you've only been spoiled on that one. In the teaser trailer I saw, I got spoiled on another reveal as well.
Really?
Yeah. Another one that's less important, but that I was still would have just been absolutely delighted to see in real time. I'd have been like, holy shit, yes!
I can't believe.
And it's ruined already.
I can't believe I made it this far.
Yeah.
We're only a month away.
Yeah.
And I've made it so long without somebody... Thanks to everyone around me that to never bring it up.
Right. That's impressive.
People know me enough to not even mention stuff like that to me.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's completely... I should have never seen that. No one should ever know about this. You don't need that to sell the movie. People are going to go see Star Wars.
Regardless, it's the end of a trilogy.
Why was that used?
I'll tell you why I think it was used. I think they've decided to be so spoiler heavy because they're worried about the fate of the franchise. I think Star Wars has absolutely panicked at the critical reception and audience reception of Episode 8. And so what they're trying to do is show us all this eye candy, all this stuff to lure in Star Wars fans and go, holy shit, Palpatine's in it. I gotta go see what's going on with Palpatine. Is he actually alive or is it a flashback? Is he a Force ghost? What is it?
Yeah.
This is how Disney thinks. Disney thinks, oh, we need to pull out all the stops to save this franchise because it's falling right now.
It's really dumb.
It's very dumb.
It's really, it turns me off a lot. It makes me not, yes. I'm going to go see it, but like right now, today, as of an hour ago, it makes me not want to see this movie.
Yeah.
Because the important part of this movie has already been told to me.
100%.
And this is why I don't like watching trailers.
Yeah, and you can't even read fucking tech news websites.
Could you be, could you imagine if you were in the theater and he comes up on screen as this secret reveal?
I had no clue.
And had no clue it was happening.
It would be a glorious moment. I feel deprived that that's been taken from me.
Yeah.
It'd be the best type of moment. That's one of the best things about Star Wars. Like in episode 7, when they're running from the First Order, and he's like, what about that ship? She's like, that ship's garbage. And then camera pans to the Millennium Falcon. The theater went crazy.
I was like,
oh my gosh, the Millennium Falcon. Holy shit.
That was amazing. It's in this movie. It was a great reveal.
And that has been deprived now. That's been taken from me.
Because I think about even another Disney movie, Infinity War. The end of Infinity War was a secret kept really well. And even Endgame, where they were very pro, like, do not spoil Endgame. Do not tell your friends about this.
Yep.
They didn't put anything really spoilery in the trailer, but it's also Disney. That was done right. I would have hated to know the end of Infinity War before I saw that movie.
It's because Kevin Feige's running it.
Like, everyone in the theater's crying. It's all, like, because me now knowing Palpatine exists, it reduces the emotion of that reveal by a significant amount.
100%.
Because when I see him, I might not even get goosebumps anymore.
Even going to care. You're going to be like, oh, I knew he was in this.
Yeah, exactly.
Now what's his role?
Yeah.
And so now you're watching it for a completely different reason. You're not watching it to be surprised and delighted. You're watching it just to see what happens.
So when people told me there was a spoiler in the trailer, and people were mad about it, I'm like, okay, what are you actually mad about?
Yep.
Okay, I get it.
Yep.
Every time I told someone they were dumb, fair enough.
They better have some more surprises up their sleeve.
Yeah, that's true. If I watch this movie and that's the smallest thing that happens.
Right. Maybe we got to think that that's possible. Maybe they're doing this in the trailer because maybe he's not in it. Maybe it's a flashback.
Yeah.
Maybe they're using this to sell the movie and make us think that they've revealed all this information, but it's not actually important. That would help me.
I would rather him not be in the movie.
Me too.
Yeah.
So, that was all we have for news on our agenda.
Awesome.
No more awkward transitions to news stories.
Yeah, nothing major this week.
But here's what I want to end it on. I found a very interesting list of random facts about the world and life. This is from Business Insider. This is where I found it.
I love it.
Shout out. Some very interesting facts. I just want to read a few off, see how you feel about these things.
All right, I'll try to give short responses.
That's a good idea. First fact. There are more trees on Earth than there are stars in the Milky Way galaxy.
Milky Way galaxy.
Yes.
More trees on Earth.
While the Milky Way galaxy boasts 100 billion stars, Earth tops that number with 3 trillion trees.
That's a cool fact.
3 trillion.
I know, it's not even close.
Not even close.
It's almost like you'd want to use something closer.
But I don't believe that number. 3 trillion?
I mean, so I could believe that number. When you fly, and you go places.
those go together.
You really like start to understand the vastness of Earth and how much of it we actually don't occupy.
Not little.
When we talk about overpopulation, it's really about resources. It's not about land mass because it's basically entirely empty. When you're flying international or even just like, let's say, domestic in the U.S., it's empty. It's all empty.
It is.
So if you think about like, yeah, that makes sense with...
Interesting stat. This is not from the list, but in with what you're saying, I believe this is right. I read this a long time ago, but if human beings lived with the same population density as they do in Manila, Philippines, the entire human race could live on New Zealand.
I've heard that, but the entire human race could live in the state of Texas.
So there you go.
Yeah, it's very similar.
It's very similar. So that says a lot, because there's a whole lot of land besides that.
Yeah, there is.
With that said, let's take better care of it. Now, here's my next random fact. A mantis shrimp can swing its claws so fast, it boils the water around it and creates a flash of light. Like, what?
Is that, like, on Earth?
That's on Earth. That's not no space shrimp.
That's not a space shrimp?
It's an ocean-going creature. that is boiling water with its claw and friction.
Like, as you're going, I pictured a praying mantis, and then you said shrimp. Like, it happened really fast in my brain. So then I pictured a praying mantis shrimp.
Right. Which sounds horrifying.
Which sounds like some, like, ninja-type shrimp that could do this sort of thing.
It does.
That's pretty cool.
That's shocking. I mean, that's a lot of friction to be generating with just one little claw. And
to
it creates
boil,
a flash of light.
To boil the water around it?
Yeah.
I wonder what the distance is from the claw that gets boiled. I'll have to watch a video.
Probably very close. But apparently it creates a flash of light, and I'm assuming, it doesn't say that in the fact here, but to scare away predators.
So, like, there's a predator, and she's like, ah!
Yeah, it just freaks out with its claws.
And generates a bunch of light.
Generates a bunch of light.
That's cool.
Okay, check this one out. I thought this one blew my mind. Actually, I didn't think it did blow my mind.
Okay.
A small percentage of the static that you can see on a dead TV station, you know, when you go to the All Snow channel, is leftover radiation from the Big Bang.
How?
Because there is microwave radiation mm-hmm. that permeates the entire... We're still... Those waves are, like, measurable. Which, yep. That type of shit blows my mind. Who figured out that those even exist, first off, and then how to measure them?
Yeah.
But those are permeating everything out, you know, from the center of the universe constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And those are getting into our airwaves and therefore being picked up by satellites and antennas.
So it's measurable in the static.
It's measurable. It's a small percentage in the fact. I didn't go deeper to look up what percentage. I'm sure it's a very small percentage. But we are seeing waves of the Big Bang when we're looking at
that. I wonder if it's noticeable by from our eye, the static, the residual static.
Yeah. It's interesting to think about.
Cool. That's a nice one.
Anyways, that's all we had.
Awesome.
That's it.
That felt good.
That felt really good. That was fun. It's nice not dealing with like a 2-second delay.
It is nice to do
speech.
This in person.
Yeah, we're in this nice, dimly lit, seductively lit room.
It is sexy in here.
It's sexy. It's looking like Halo is going to happen.
It's going to happen.
The magic.
Our ladies are out watching documentaries and also Black Mirror. I went out.
Watch some Black Mirror.
Yeah.
Fucking hate that show.
We're done. We can't talk about... I don't even want to get into that right now. It's added to the next list.
We will. And I have a lot of reasons why I hate that show. And I'm going to save them because we're going to talk about them maybe next week.
Okay.
All right.
I really want to argue with you right now for the next hour about it, but...
You save it.
You know what's funny? I haven't watched them all either because I kind of get annoyed by them.
I haven't watched that many and I never will.
All right. Let's talk about it next episode.
All right. Fair enough.
There's your cliffhanger. Also, there's a cliffhanger from last episode that we were going to do our top 5 comedy movies.
Yeah, we discussed it.
And I hate comedy movies. So I'm having a really hard time creating my list.
I think that when you finally do come up with this list, it's going to mean more than any other list that you could have easily come up with because you're going to really have to soul search for it.
Will Ferrell sucks.
You take it back. You take that back right now.
I'm not taking it back.
All right. That's it. That's all we had. Boss Fight Podcast.
Yeah.
.com.
.com?
Is that our URL?
I'm just letting you do all the things.
Is that our URL?
BossFightPodcast.com.
BossFightPodcast.com.
Find us on Instagram.
Twitter. Find us on Instagram. Find us on Twitter. We're going to do YouTube videos.
Yeah, we will.
We're going to start filming more stuff.
Yep.
We're going to get Mountain Dew money.
Yep.
I'm going to crack another Code Red.
Cha-ching.
Right after this. Every time I crack a Code Red and then you hear it on the mic, I want money.
There you go.
I want it to sound like money.
Make it happen.
All right. That's it. Everybody, have a safe and wonderful week.
Deuces.
Peace.